Well, industrial agriculture has been taking the hits lately with books like Omnivore's Dilemma, Fast Food Nation, and Appetite for Profit throwing the punches. This leads us to ask, can big food do the right thing?
Welcome to the award-winning Food Chain Show with your host, Michael Olson. Now, get ready for an hour of What's Eating What Radio.
Well, hello out there. You are tuned into the 523rd edition of the Food Chain. Or hey, perhaps you're among our friends over there in Nagasaki. You are tuned in as we stream along on the Food Chain page at metrofarm.com. Well, whoever you are and wherever you are, welcome aboard. I am Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What Radio, with engineer Dave on the boards.
Glad to be here.
Producer Carol Stafford on the phones. Hello, Carol.
Hello.
Folks, when it comes right down to it, we all live at the end of a very long food chain. Our breakfast, lunch, and dinner travels, on average, somewhere in the neighborhood of 1,500 miles from where it was grown to where we eat. This food chain that brings us our daily bread has come to be dominated by some very big companies that are organized as corporations. Today, we are going to consider a very interesting notion placed on the table by the book Appetite for Profit, which says, in essence, because of big food's imperative to generate profit and grow, it simply cannot do the right thing when it comes to providing food for we consumers. Here to help us explore this notion, we have Alex Avery from the Center for Food for Global Food Issues. Alex, welcome back to the Food Chain.
Good to be here.
Yeah, well, so is it winter in the Shenandoah Valley?
It's pretty cold. It got down to 10 last night.
Down to 10. Well, it's such a beautiful place that you deserve a little bad weather once in a while.
That's true. Thanks.
So, Center for Global Food Issues, what is it?
We're a part of the Hudson Institute. We're a nonprofit think tank. Very thinly funded and very outspoken in favor of open markets, embracing technology, embracing the future, and being ready for the future.
Mm-hmm. When you say you're thinly funded, who does the thinly funding?
About 20% of Hudson's funding comes from corporate sources, foundations, individuals to a small degree. But we do take some agribusiness money, full disclosure right out front.
Okay.
The center's budget's under $150,000 a year. So we eke along, but we're passionate, so that makes up for it.
Passion makes up for a lot. Also with us today, Michelle Simon for the Center for Informed Food Choices. Michelle, welcome to the Food Chain.
Thank you.
First time for you. You're in Berkeley, right?
Oakland.
Oakland. So what is winter like in Oakland?
Well, it's a little rainy, but can't complain. Most of the year, it's so beautiful.
Okay, good. Center for Informed Food Choices. What is it?
Well, it's a small nonprofit organization that monitors government policy related to nutrition and tracks the major food companies and how they influence government policies.
Mm-hmm. Michelle, who pays your way?
Oh, just individuals that, make small donations, mm-hmm. little as I can gather each year to keep my expenses going, but that's about it.
Okay, good. Well, Michelle, you're also the author of Appetite for Profit. How is that connected with your institute there?
Yeah. Well, over the years, I've been writing a newsletter where I was tracking food companies and government policies. And about 2 years ago, I was attending a conference put on by Time Magazine and ABC News in which Tommy Thompson was giving a keynote address. And this was called the Summit on Obesity. And so he was there to talk about how all the health professionals could come together and really help us to solve this problem of obesity. And he was also talking about how major food companies were coming on board. And one of the companies he mentioned was Coca-Cola. And Coca-Cola, he said, was no longer marketing in schools and really, doing a good job. So during the Q&A period, though, a politician got up by the name of Representative Charles Brown from the state of Indiana. And he asked Tommy Thompson if the companies were doing such a good job, then how come Coca-Cola had sent 5 lobbyists to his state capitol to lobby against his bill that would have required only half of all beverages sold through school vending machines to be healthy? And Tommy Thompson didn't have a good answer for this. And this was kind of my aha moment as an author, where I realized we had this disconnect between what the food companies were on the one hand saying, and on the other hand, what the experience was on the ground of some local politicians who were really trying to fix the problem. So that was kind of what set me up on this investigation into other similar stories. And lo and behold, I found quite a few and decided to compile them in a book.
Thus, Appetite for Profit.
Yes.
Well, let me start the show off with both of you and the question, is there a direct connection between large food companies and the epidemic of obesity and diabetes that we're suffering through here in the United States? Michelle, started off with you.
Sure. Well, you know, we have to look at this question from a little bit of common sense. I mean, we certainly know that the food companies spend $36 billion a year marketing largely the wrong kinds of foods. So these are foods high in sugar and fat and devoid of nutrients. And we certainly know that there's a connection between eating such foods and diet-related illness. So we have an epidemic of heart disease, increasingly an epidemic of type 2 diabetes. Children are coming down increasingly with these same diseases that we used to only see in adults. So we know we have a public health crisis related to poor diet. And we know we have a food industry that markets the hell out of really unhealthy foods.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well,
you know, it shouldn't take a large stretch of imagination to realize there's some connection there.
Okay, Alex, got a response to that?
Yeah, well, I mean, in one sense, there's a point about the obesity epidemic and changing our culture, and I agree. The issue is the way to do that by regulating beyond constitutional limits the activities of private businesses, be they large corporations or small, in selling products that people apparently want. And I have a libertarian philosophy. People should be free in our country to do self-destructive things. that shouldn't excuse a culture where it's true we have a lot of children that are obese and having the problems. But that's parental and responsibility. That's way beyond, I think, the kind of government coercion that you would necessarily have to do to start limiting companies' ability to sell and market.
Mm-hmm. Well, do you agree then, Alex, that there is some connection then between the food that large corporations are selling us and the obesity and diabetes epidemic that we're having?
Perhaps only because they make it much more easy for consumers to access these rich foods that have high in fat, high in calories. But the consumers are the ones that are buying them, and people, you know, let's take out the big the gorilla, McDonald's. People say, oh well, they're marketing foods that are unhealthy. But you know, I've been in McDonald's lately, and there are a pretty large array of fairly healthy options on the McDonald's menu. They're not selling. And you know, there's perhaps legitimate criticism in the way that McDonald's has the pricing structure, so that if you piece together a regular hamburger, a small fry, and a medium or a small diet drink, it costs you nearly 50, 60% more than if you buy the supersized package.
Mm-hmm.
But that is, if people wouldn't buy that, there wouldn't be the money that McDonald's is making that. And I think that we have to look at ourselves rather than trying to point the finger and say, it's, you know, it's somebody else's fault. It's marketing. It's advertising to our kids. So, you know, that's something we all can control.
Okay. Michelle, let me ask you this. Is this condition of obesity and diabetes unique to the United States or to the food companies of the United States, or is it something that we're seeing happening around the world?
No, unfortunately, it's something that we're seeing increasingly around the world, and, you know, should come as no surprise, because as we are exporting the way we eat, so McDonald's, of course, is a global company. Coca-Cola sells products in every country on the planet. What we're doing is also exporting our sicknesses. So we're seeing the obesity epidemic spread globally. We're seeing the same kind of chronic illnesses in countries that never had them before.
Hold on. But this is a great example, because people want to blame McDonald's or Kentucky Fried Chicken's marketing and their advertising, et cetera, for that dietary change. But in fact, those dietary changes started occurring long before the presence of any significant presence of Western fast food chain. And in fact, what happens is, as people get wealthier and as food costs are reduced in terms of the percentage of the family income. Again and again and again, if you look at it through history, everybody increases radically the amount of meat, of fried foods, mm-hmm. of diverse grains that are high in carbohydrates, etc. That all occurs before you get any significant presence of modern advertising and, quote, big food corporations.
You know, Michelle, you brought up a great point about the human condition and how, you know, our bodies are kind of keyed to seeking out the fats and the salts because, you know, we're keyed to gear ourselves to struggle against famine. When we come back, I'd like you to kind of fill us in on how that relates to this epidemic of obesity and large corporations. Folks, this is The Food Chain. Michael Olson here, your host for today, and we have Alex Avery and we have Michelle Simon, and we're talking about large corporations, and we're asking the question, can big food corporations provide us with the right kind of food? What do you think? 800-624-2665, 831-4719-80, right back. Please do stay tuned. Water users, you can reduce your need for water by 30% and more, grow healthier plants, and get rid of calcium carbonate deposits, no, not by magic, by installing an Aquamax catalytic converter in your water line that will induce epitaxial nucleation. Listen.
Hello, I'm Karen Kuhn. My father promised me that if I installed an Aquamax, I could grow grass where I've never been able to grow grass. And it's the truth. Was bare and spotty and is now deep-rooted and healthy. It's wonderful. We use much less water, and the plants look absolutely beautiful.
You can reduce your need for water by 30% and more, grow healthier plants, and eliminate calcium carbonate deposits just by installing an Aquamax on your water line. No chemicals, no filters. Explore the possibility. Go to metrofarm.com, click on the Aquamax Water Saver banner, and save. That's metrofarm.com.
Welcome back out there. This is The Food Chain. Michael Olson here, your host for today. We're talking with Alex Avery from the Center for Global Food Issues and also Michelle Simon from the Center for Informed Food Choices and the author of Appetite for Profit. I got a weird noise on the line. Engineer Dave shrugs his shoulders. I'm going to try putting him on hold and see if I can get rid of it. There. It was Alex. Alex?
Yeah.
Okay, we've got a little breaking up on your line, I think. At any rate, we have Alex Avery and Michelle Simon. Michelle, before we went to the break, we were talking a little bit about about the imperative of people to struggle against the possibility of famine, and we do so by hoarding fats and salts and all the wrong things, right?
Right.
Are you there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a little hard for me to hear you over all the static.
Okay.
Just a sec,
Michelle. I'm going to try hooking in with you again here. Okay, hold on. We'll try that. Are you there?
Yes.
I sound better?
A little bit.
We don't know what's going on.
Okay.
Engineer Dave, could you help us out here? Well, go ahead and fire away and we'll just...
Evolutionarily, humans evolved in an atmosphere.
Well, Michelle, this isn't going to work. We're going to call you right back, okay? All right, thank you. We'll put her on hold, and we'll go to Alex. Alex, are you there?
I can hear you. Yeah. I think it might be this line.
Well, we're going to call you right back, okay?
All right.
Folks, this is The Food Chain, and we're experiencing technical difficulties. We had a great rain last night, so we have all of these things, weird things happening with our telephone system, but we'll pick it right back up. The question we're working with today, quite simply, is can big food corporations do the right thing? They've been taking a battering by a number of books lately, not the least of which are Omnivore's Dilemma, Fast Food Nation, Appetite for Profit. These books have been really tearing into our big food corporations, upon which we, of course, all are relying to one extent or another for our food. So the interesting contention made by Michelle Simon in her book Appetite for Profit is that given the corporation's imperative to generate profit and grow continually, to make more profit and to grow larger all the time, it simply cannot provide us with the right kind of food. It must make money, and it must do so by essentially providing us with the wrong kinds of food. As a consequence, the country is experiencing, I guess the world is experiencing, an epidemic of obesity and consequent diabetes. So who's responsible for this? Is it the food companies that are out there trying to make a buck? Or is it we consumers who are trying to get fed, I guess? That's the question we're working with today, and we're, of course, invite you to participate. The phone number is 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. I think we're going to try going back to Michelle here. Is that Michelle, is that you?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay.
I'm here. It's clearly an echo.
We still have an echo, don't we? Huh. Line one. Try it again.
Okay.
Yeah, hold on. We still have that echo?
Yes.
Okay, we're going to try calling you back here again.
Okay, bye.
All right, so I guess we're still having trouble. Maybe Engineer Dave will come up with an answer. Any answers, Engineer Dave, to our technical difficulty here?
Line one is no good, so if you can have her call back on a different line, that would probably work.
Okay, we tried the. We'll try that. Producer Carol Stafford is working this. Well, this is live radio, folks. This is what happens when technology beats live radio, and things happen. So, Michael Olson, this is The Food Chain. We're working with Alex Avery from the Center for Global Food Issues. We're working with Michelle Simon for the Center for Informed Food Choices. We have a great subject. The subject is large food corporations that have come to dominate our food chain. Michelle Simon makes the interesting observation that because of the imperative of a corporation to generate profit for its shareholders and to continually grow in size, corporations have to do that which makes them money, irregardless of whether it is the right thing or the wrong thing. So is it the right thing or the wrong thing? What do you think? 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. We're working with Alex Avery for the Center for Global Food Issues, and we're working with Michelle Simon for the Center for Informed Food Choices. We're going to try it again here. We're going to try going to Alex. Alex, are you there?
I'm here.
Sounds like we have one line here, huh? Well, welcome back. Alex is calling in from the Shenandoah River Valley of Virginia, a beautiful place. Alex, do you think it's possible for a corporation to provide us with the right kind of food, given the imperative to continually make money and to make more money?
I don't think it has anything to do with corporations or size. If we decide to demand enough but a high-fat, high-calorie, poor-nutrition diet, that...
Well, this isn't working, Alex. I'm just not getting the line here, so we're going to drop you and try another line, I guess, here. We're having a train wreck, folks. But that's okay. We'll live through it. Curious to know what you think. Can big corporations provide us with the right kind of food? Hey, I have a guest in the studio. Let me turn your mic on.
Hello.
Stephanie, introduce yourself.
Hi, my name is Stephanie Torres, and I'm a certified personal trainer and youth fitness trainer, also a certified hypnotherapist.
Well, I'm glad you're here to rescue me. So you work with people, and you help them stay healthy.
I do.
An interesting question here today with respect to large companies. And as you look around, Stephanie, you see the epidemic of obesity that we all see.
Absolutely.
Whose fault?
Fault. That's a good question. Whose fault? Whose responsibility? I think that it's a complex issue, clearly. I think that personally, I'm just going to give you my opinion here.
Well, what else do we have in life, right?
Ultimately, yeah. I think we all have to take responsibility for what we put in our bodies, and I think we all have to take some responsibility for what we all have created, and responsibility personally as to what choices we make for ourselves, our bodies, and our families, and what we purchase, where we spend our money. I also think that people who are in positions with corporations need to take some responsibility for the product they're providing to the public.
Well, we're going to try Michelle. Personal responsibility. Michelle, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
We still don't have you. We're going to work on it one more time here. I'll put you on hold. I bet there's a pot up. Dave, is there an ISDN pot up by any chance? Yes. Okay. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to see if we can get our guests back on the air. Michael Olson here. Michael Olson here with Stephanie Torres. We also have Alex Avery and Michelle Simon on the phone from opposite ends of the country, and we're working out some technical difficulties. But we'll see if we can pick them up and come right back at you. Please do stay tuned. Well, welcome back, folks. This is The Food Chain. Michael Olson here. We're flying on a wing and a prayer today. We've got a big rain last night, so we have some water in the phone lines. We're seeing if we can get them to work. We're working with Alex Avery and Michelle Simon. We're going to give them a try right here. Alex, you there? Hello, hello?
Hello, hello.
No. Okay, Alex, we'll just let you go and catch you down the line sometime. My apologies for the technical difficulties. Michelle, are you there?
Hello?
No. Michelle, we're so sorry. We have these technical difficulties. We'll pick you up next time, okay?
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That was Alex Avery for the Center for Global Food Issues and Michelle Simon for the Center for Informed Food Choices. So sorry to have that technical difficulties. We had a couple of great people from opposite ends of the country and opposite ends of the ideological perspective. But it'll be you and I and Stephanie Torres. Stephanie, thank you for being here today.
I had no idea. Thank you.
You didn't. But you're perfect because you are a personal trainer, a fitness trainer.
Yes.
A nutrition coach of sorts?
Yes, and a hypnotherapist. And a youth fitness trainer.
So you're right there. In looking at the people that walk down the street, we all see that this country is indeed going through an epidemic of obesity and consequent diabetes.
Yes.
And Michelle Simon makes this really interesting point that big food corporations cannot do anything but sell us bad food.
That's an interesting premise. I think it's definitely something interesting and provocative to talk about. Mm-hmm. I think that it sort of pushes us to the point where we say, well, whose fault or whose responsibility is this? And, you know, you look around our culture and you can ask that about a lot of areas, but food now is becoming real personal because we've created a medical crisis, really.
And how do we get out of it?
I mean, if
big food corporations cannot help themselves but to sell us bad food.
Yes. Well, that's the dilemma.
What are we going to do?
Yeah, that's a good question. It's going to take time, and we don't have that kind of time right now because the kids are already overweight. And we're looking down the road at a major health crisis for our kids, which is really sad. I think we have to wake up immediately, and we have to start educating kids and educating ourselves and making choices.
Well, in Appetite for Profit, Michelle makes a real interesting notion. She says that our bodies, you know, from the very get-go, from the beginning of time, our bodies are keyed to store fats. And
for survival
through lean times.
Right.
It's the fat people that survive, you know.
Well,
and so
this is a very interesting topic for me.
Fats are what our body craves. It's what gives food its taste.
Right.
You know, so when you go into a fast food place,
right,
what are you looking for? You're looking for those fats and the salts, right?
Well, yes and no. If you have ever been on a healthy regime, your body doesn't necessarily crave those sugars. In fact, your body will say, no, I'm much happier when I'm eating nutritious food. If you can actually break the cycle of sugar and fats, mm-hmm. you'll actually experience yourself in a very different way. You just have to get there.
Can corporations get there? I mean, do you think it's possible for corporations I think to sell us food that isn't.
I think it's possible. I think it's a ways down the road. So consequently, we don't really have that kind of time. It could take quite a long time. So that's why I think people have to take some responsibility and make choices and not purchase products that aren't really food and nutritious. And if you're going to purchase them, don't eat them in moderation.
That's not fun.
You've got to find a way to make it fun.
We have to find a way to make it fun.
We do. And that's my job.
Well, how do we do that, though?
Well,
I mean, when our bodies are keyed...
Our bodies aren't keyed to eating lettuce.
I don't believe that. You don't?
No, I don't believe that. I think that that's something, a choice that you can decide, and if you decide that's true, that's true. But I've decided that my body was made to have energy and be fit and youthful, and I was made to wake up in the morning and feel great. And that if I put the right gas in the tank, I feel terrific all day long.
Mm-hmm.
If I put the wrong gas in the tank, I'm going to have these ups and downs and cravings, and I'm going to feel out of control, and I'm going to feel depressed, and I'm going to have all this strange mood swinging happening.
Right.
Because I'm eating the wrong foods.
Right.
And we've become a culture that accepts that.
Who can sell us those foods?
Well, I think there's a lot of companies starting to, actually.
Uh-huh.
But let's just go back to basics. How about some fruits and vegetables?
Right.
Let's just start there.
Can large corporations make money?
I think they can. I think partly there's a huge opportunity right now for them to educate and sell us products that are healthy. You're mm-hmm. seeing a lot more of the health food industry growing and educating people about it. The biggest problem, of course, is they're going to say it's healthy. And, you know, maybe it's what do they love to say, that it's no cholesterol. Yeah, totally high in fat, but no cholesterol. So you've got to be savvy. You've got to wake up.
Yeah. Well, can they wake up? Can large corporations yes. wake up? I was thinking about what Michelle Simon was talking about and how Coca-Cola has been selling essentially, you know, soft drinks that really do make us fat. But now Coca-Cola is really big into water.
Yes, that's right.
I mean, that's where they're making a big bucks.
Right.
Is selling water.
Bravo.
For the same.
That's
right. I mean, they're charging us about the same thing for water that they're charging us for soft drinks, and they don't have to put anything in it.
And guess what? I'll pay for that.
So you'll pay
because
for that?
I'll pay for that, because that actually contributes to my health. It doesn't take away, like if I buy a Coke, now I'm depleting the system. If I buy a water, I'm creating a better system.
Should we try taking a phone call?
I think we should.
Okay. Watch out. We'll just stick our toe in the water and see if it works. Hello, who's calling?
Hello?
Yes. Can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you with a major echo.
Well, give us your comment really quick and we'll try to take it here.
All right. What people want is not dictated by the corporate mandate for profits.
What do they want?
The only alternatives that we have, in my opinion, are regulation or dictatorship.
Ah.
Castro.
Like Mao Zedong or Joseph Stalin, both of them had great ideas for the food chain.
Absolutely. So at some point, it gets down to what people want, what they will buy, and you cannot blame organizations for wishing to protect their legacy profit chain.
That's a responsibility. That's what they have to do. They have no choice, right? A corporation has no choice but to generate profit and to grow in size. That's Michelle Simon's principle here. That's what they do. So whose responsibility is this?
It's the government, public and private, like New York City with trans fat. I mean, these things can be done. Because I think in the final analysis, when we look at the human condition, what people want is not necessarily what's good for the common.
Well, there you go. And thank you for calling from the bottom of that barrel.
Absolutely.
You say
happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you too. Thank you so much for the call. Well,
I have an interesting analogy.
Go.
This reminds me of television and how people say there's so much junk on television. How come we can't watch something more, you know, educational or enlightening? Mm-hmm. And it's because people continue to watch the stuff that titillates them.
Yeah.
Same idea.
There you go. Same thing with food, right?
Same thing.
We always crave that which is going to protect us from some kind of famine in the future, which tends to be the wrong kinds of things for us to be eating. Folks, this is The Food Chain. Michael Olson here with Stephanie Torres.
Yes,
happy to be sitting in today, and grateful that she is here because our phone certainly is not. But you can try to reach us, and we'll try to take your calls. 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. This is The Food Chain.
Get this. The average acre of farmland in or near the city limits may earn in excess of $123,000 per year. To learn how so much can be earned from so little, pick up a copy of Metro Farm, the guide to growing for big profit on a small parcel of land. Metro Farm is the PMA Ben Franklin Book of the Year Award winner by Michael Olson that contains over 500 pages of photos, charts, checklists, illustrations, and in-depth interviews. Metro Farm will teach you how to develop a strategy, survey markets, select crops, organize business, establish production, prepare for market, and make the sale. Metro Farm will teach you how others just like you earn a good living by growing high-value specialty crops for people who are truly appreciative. Abraham Lincoln said, "The greatest fine art of the future will be the making of a comfortable living from a small parcel of land." Get in on that future today. Pick up a copy of Metro Farm at bookstores, lawn and garden supply stores, 1-800-624-BOOK, or at www.metrofarm.com.
Welcome back, folks. This is The Food Chain. We're talking about big food, and we're asking the question, can the big corporations that sell us food sell us the right kind of food? They have an imperative to generate profit. They must earn profit, and they must keep growing. That is what corporations do.
Right.
The question is, can they sell us the right kind of food given those parameters? I've got Stephanie Torres with us today. Stephanie's a fitness coach, a nutrition coach, and
a great stand-in
for Alex Avery and Michelle
Simon.
Thank you for being here.
My pleasure.
So we have a couple callers. Should we go to them?
Sure.
Okay. We're going to try to take them. They are calling from the bottom of a 50-gallon barrel, but we can still listen to them. Chris, are you there?
Yes, sir. I hope the echo is working okay.
You sound like you're the bottom of a barrel, but we can still hear you, so fire away.
I wanted to ask Stephanie about trans fats. My name is Christopher Stanley, and I can take my answer on the air because I don't really know what trans fat is.
Okay.
And thank you.
You bet. Thanks for calling, Chris.
Bye-bye.
Well, Stephanie, Chris, do we know what trans fats are?
That's a very good question. You know, there's a lot of buzzwords like trans fats out there, and a lot of them are, I don't have a great definition for trans fats, unfortunately. I'm just being perfectly honest with you. I can tell you that there are certain things in the way that oils are, the way they are in our bodies, and trans fats are not good for us. It's like saturated fats.
Yeah, our bodies no longer can process trans fats, so they travel through our body and stay there. Carol knows what trans fats are. Carol, come in here and tell us what trans fats
are. Give us a good simplified version. I can give you.
Okay. We have the resources to survive here, even though we don't have phones. Okay, producer Carol Stafford, what are trans fats?
Well, to actually describe what they are, you'd need a drawing.
Yeah.
But to describe what
this is radio, Carol.
I know, that's the problem.
Imagine,
but,
if you will.
But what they do is, or how they are created, is when you have like an unsaturated fat, and you try to hydrogenate it to make it solid, like margarine, stuff like that. Or
so you have a liquid, you're trying to make it a solid.
Yeah, the hydrogenated fats, like when you put the hydrogenated fat in the refrigerator.
Mm-hmm.
It solids up, and even at room temperature, they're often solid. But the more polyunsaturated you get, the more liquid you get. And so, you know, they want to make fake butter, so they bubble in hydrogen to make it more solid and, mm-hmm. you know, something that people can to spread
make
on
an
their
oil,
toast.
To make an oil look like a cube of butter.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
And then and put in that in your system.
Yeah. And so then in that process, they create these trans fats, which I would have to draw. And
they look like squiggly little worms with lots of legs?
Well,
no?
Well, yeah, but saying that doesn't help.
Okay. So the point is that the body can no longer process fats that have been hydrogenated, right?
Well, yeah, and the body tries to put them where it would put the right fats, and they don't act the way the right mm-hmm. fats would act.
Right.
And so you get
clogged arteries.
So you find yourself into trouble.
Right.
Well, let's try to go to Rolf here and see if we can pick up Rolf. Rolf, are you there?
I'm right here.
Okay, fire quickly. We can still hear you. Go ahead, Rolf.
Well, my question, which I posed before, is how do we bring about a significant influence to young people, whether it's bad television or whether it's bad food?
Boy, great question. Thank you for that. We'll take you off the air since we're having such trouble here. Thank
fine.
You, Rolf. Rolf is a biodynamic farmer. So how do we approach
Excellent
youth?
Excellent question.
Because, you know,
oh,
if you look at the fast food franchises, they're geared for youth.
Yeah.
You know, they're
no question.
Happy meal.
I got to tell you, I have seen this time and time again. The number one thing that will help our youth is when we start taking a stand for health. When my daughter sees me eating salads and fresh foods, that's what she imitates. Children imitate their parents. Children imitate their adults around them. If they see you smoking, they're going to want to smoke. They can't help it. That's the way we're made as human beings. We imitate.
Parents.
We learn by imitating. So you don't even have to preach it. Just live it.
Just live it.
Just live it. And take a stand yourself. We have to stop, we have to stop blaming other people. We have to start taking some personal responsibility.
So let's get back to the issue we were talking about during the break, which was really fascinating. How do we make this decision here? We have a we have corporations that are essentially selling us bad food because they can make a lot of money.
Yes.
What is the alternative?
Well,
how do we find an alternative in this? I mean, can we expect corporations to change their ways and do the right thing to sell us the right kinds of food if they can't make any money on it? I mean, consider yourself the president of a corporation.
Right.
And you're making your shareholders a lot of money.
Right. It's awfully hard to turn that down.
Selling bad food, okay?
I know.
Are you going to say, okay, shareholders, bite the bullet because I want to do the right thing?
That's a good question. You know, this is a bit of a dilemma. And I think that until the public wakes up and sees the real high cost of that fast food, I think we're not going to really see it. The high cost is coming in our...
Let's talk about the real cost of cheap food when we come back. Folks, this is The Food Chain. Michael Olson here. We're talking about the efficacy of big corporations. Can they sell us good food? What do you think? 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Michael Olson here with Stephanie Torres. We used to have Alex Avery and Michelle Simon, but sunspots and rain and thunder and lightning and tornadoes and hurricanes came between us and them, and that's that, but we still have you, so please do stay tuned. Welcome back, folks. This is The Food Chain. We're talking about the efficacy of large corporations. Can large corporations sell us the right kind of food if we are willing to buy the wrong kind of food? What do you think? Michael Olson here with Stephanie Torres. And
hi.
Stephanie, do you think large corporations can sell us the right kind of food if we're willing to buy the wrong kind of food?
I think they'll sell us whatever we'll sell.
That's what their job is,
That's
to make
right.
money.
So we need to wake up and make the right choices for our bodies.
Okay. Our choices are kind of determined by our taste, too. What tastes good
that's
to
right.
us
but that's
are fats, salts, and sugars. That's what our body craves.
No, I don't believe that. That's where we have a difference of opinion. Because I think that if you clean your body up, and you start feeding it what it really needs, high nutrient fruits and vegetables and grains and healthy lean meats, I think you're going to experience yourself in a totally different way.
Okay, how do we teach ourselves to do this?
We have to just get
disciplined. I mean, we're talking with kids who are put upon by advertising, by publicity, by example, by peer pressure, to consume the wrong things.
Right. Well, we have to look at the big picture. Let's fast forward to everybody knows somebody who's got cancer. Everybody knows somebody who's obese and got diabetes or dying of lung cancer. That's a great example.
So the question is, somehow we have to come to the realization that cheap food isn't.
Yeah, cheap food will cost you in the back end.
That in the long term, cheap food is going to be the most expensive food at all.
Absolutely.
Right? So how do we fight that war?
Well, the first thing I say is a lot of it's not really food. If it's low nutrient, high fat, it's really not food. And that's what I try to instill in my family, is to make a distinction.
How do you tell a kid that?
Well,
how do you demonstrate to a kid that junk food that they're getting at the junk food store, though cheap, is really expensive?
I'll tell you how I did it. Okay. My kids, you know, like any other kids, wanted to go to McDonald's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd say, okay, well, let's try it. So we go to McDonald's, and then my son is like doubled over saying, oh, my stomach. And I'm like, see, notice how you feel.
Uh-huh.
And if you'll notice with kids, they'll eat and then they don't feel great. And so if you share with them that food is causing, you know, that high fat is causing a lot of the way they feel, or they feel tired, or you go, let's go to the park, and you can run circles around them. I mean, you're like, you have to make the connection between how your body feels and what you're putting in.
Yes, but kids only see about 1.5 inches in front of their nose.
We have to re-educate people.
We eat short term,
right. But
we have to pay for it long term. Maybe we could have some kind of time lapse photography.
Yes,
showing the impact.
Yes.
Of eating the wrong kinds.
You put that wrong food in, and you'll see the repercussions of it, because you can see it in our culture. You just have to wake up to start seeing it. Look around. Go to the mall. Look around. See if you can, how many people, what percentage is overweight.
Yeah. Okay. So let's talk about the alternatives to corporations, to big food.
Yeah.
Is there an alternative to the corporate form of food chain? I mean, that's who's dominating.
Yes,
our
absolutely.
Food chain.
Okay. There's an alternative. I think that first of all, it's dominated by sales, right?
Is the government the alternative?
No, I don't think. I think we have to take personal responsibility that goes into where we work. So now I work at Coca-Cola. So now I have to step up and say, hey, the public is wanting to get healthier. Let's create some products that are healthier. Some of them put 10% juice in. Okay, that's a start. Now 50% juice. Now it's 100% juice. Let's market that as healthy.
There you go. Folks, this has been The Food Chain, a wild, woolly, stormy edition of The Food Chain, in which hurricanes and typhoons and forest fires prevented us from using the telephones. But luckily, we had Stephanie Torres visiting the studio today, who's a personal fitness trainer and helped out immensely. And luckily, we also had you out there listening and calling in from the bottom of a 50-gallon barrel. So thank you all for helping us out today. And a special thanks to Alex Avery and Michelle Simon for calling in, and Stephanie Torres for sitting in.
Thank you for having me.
Do stay tuned next week for more What's Eating What Radio right here on The Food Chain.
Been listening to the award-winning Food Chain Show with Michael Olson. If your friends missed the show today, tell them to log on to the radio page at www.metrofarm.com for a listen. Now go out and find some food with a farmer's face on it and live.